about 8 o'clock, I mean, other than you, don't you? Yeah, so funny. I'm here until the end of the day. But that was unclear. Why should we follow Rebbe?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, if we follow Rebbe with the chakras, so then maybe we should follow Yudha Ishmael also. Or maybe one should argue that the two issues have nothing to do with each other. Chakras is one machlokes, mitzvah is another machlokes, it's talking with each other. So it's unclear what the din should be. So finally, the Gemara, back and forth, the Gemara comes up with what seems to be a very, very strange psak. The Gemara's psak is almost like when somebody hacks me a chanach enough times, what do I say? Kind of like, do whatever you want. The Gemara says, you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, that's okay. You want to follow Rabban, that's also okay. And again, we're going to learn, hopefully, in the next sugya, how this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban about mincha impacts on Ma'ariv also. Because at the end of the day, no pun intended, but whenever mincha ends, that's when Ma'ariv begins. When mincha ends, that's when Ma'ariv begins. So, but let's focus more on mincha than on Ma'ariv. What is the din? Bottom line. So bottom line is the Gemara says that if you want to follow the Rabbanon, and you want to daven mincha after plaga mincha, that's okay, and that's fine even mechatchila, and that's what many of us, probably most of us, actually do in life. That we sometimes daven ma'ariv, sometimes daven mincha after plaga mincha. When is the sov zman of mincha that which we follow the rabbanon in a sense, the other kamar of it? So what? Well, the Mishnah doesn't use the term shkia. What phrase does the Mishnah use? Out of erev, until the evening. That's a very, very vague term. So if I had a put a little bit more of a halachic spin on that term, I would probably say something along the following. You can daven mincha until the halachic end of the day. I think that's pretty much muskum, pretty much agreed upon by everybody.
Yeah.
You can daven mincha, sounds good, thank you. You can daven mincha until the halachic end of the day. But, no problem. But I want to know is, when is the halachic end of the day? Let's try to keep the cross currents under the current, okay? So Rabbi said, you can daven mincha until the end of the halachic time of the day. This is already a question that goes way beyond the tefillah. This is a question that permeates kol Torah kula. When does the day end? Now, this is important for so many areas of halacha, chus tefillah almost on the bottom of the list as the significance. What is the most pressing, most important, most basic question when the day ends? You got to be Shabbos. That's serious stuff. The stakes are pretty high. I'm talking about this as schema. You know, it's like sometimes the person asks me Shabbos about the international dateline. So they cross it off the dateline, they want to know. There's some very, very pressing burning Shiloh. What's the burning Shiloh? What's Shishol Yom to say? I mean, between you and me, like, unless you're holding this Kalkan with a Shia, that's going to like make or break anything. I mean, that's the big deal, you said the wrong Shishol Yom. I want to know about Shabbos. Shabbos is Skila. So comes the Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos and discusses this very question, when does the day end in Halacha? Now, that's important on both ends of the spectrum in terms of Shabbos. It's important to know when Friday ends, therefore Shabbos begins. And obviously it's important to know when Shabbos ends, therefore Shabbos ends, and therefore Mitzvah Shabbos begins. So when does the day end? So comes the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, introduces to us a concept called Din HaShemashos, that there is a time on the clock, a time in the sky, that we are not quite sure what its halachic status is. We do not know whether it is part of the previous day, or whether it's part of the next day. And that's not going to bode well for us in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is a deraisa, obviously kikim or deraisa Shabbos. So savi deraisa l'chumra. So we're going to have to turn around every Friday afternoon and say, oh my goodness, Ben Hashmashos has arrived. I don't know that it's Shabbos yet, but it may be, and therefore I have to be machmir not do melacha. On the other hand, the Motzei Shabbos, when that same time, that 24 hours ago we paskined, may have been Shabbos, maybe it's ready the next day, we have to turn around and earn the sort of caution as well and say, well, maybe, guess what? Maybe Shabbos is not yet over. Now, we don't know, but that's the problem. It's fake deraisa l'chumra. So we have to be makar on both sides of the equation. So that window of suffix man, that zman that's called Ben Hashmashos, is l'chumra on Friday and l'chumra on Shabbos as well. The question is, when is that time? Again, we're nowhere near Hilchos Tefillah yet. We have to first define Zman HaYom and Kol Torah Kula, and then be able to invoke the rules back to Hilchos Tefillah. So when is that time? What physical phenomena do we use to identify when that time is all about? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that that time of Ben Hashmashos in the sky corresponds to two physical phenomena. One is Shkia Sachama, when the sun sets. I'm not going to define that yet. And the other is when the stars come out. We're not going to define that either. The only thing the Gemara says that we know for certainty about those two astronomical phenomena one calls the sun setting and one calls the stars coming out, is that there's a certain amount of time in between them. How much time is in between them? So Chazal very often do not speak in terms of, when they speak about minutes, they don't use the terminology minutes, but rather they define time in terms of how far an average normal person could walk, how much distance you could cover in X amount of time. So the Gemara gives us a shear in terms of distance, and the distance shear is, the Gemara has a little bit of trouble to figure out what exactly the shear is, but finally the Gemara concludes it is what number? What's the magic number the Gemara gives?
3/4 of a mil.
3/4 of a mil. That's the shear. The amount of time it takes an average person walking at an average pace to walk 3/4 of a mil, that is the shear. Now, practically speaking, what does that mean? How much is a mil, by the way?
18 minutes.
Not like
well,
this.
Well, how much is it in terms of distance? In terms of
2,000
amos. Okay? Now that, of course, that in of itself is problematic. Why is that problematic? Because we have no idea what an amma is. We have ranges of ammas anywhere from 1.5 feet to 2 feet. So 2,000 ammas could be X amount, could be X plus amount. So it's going to be kind of hard for us to test this exactly. But we have a tradition, at least according to many Rishonim, and we're going to use this number, even though according to other Rishonim this is an incorrect number, but for math purposes it's going to make it easy for us. Otherwise we're going to get so tzeflogged in calculation, and the last thing you guys want to do is talk about math now. You guys are all off, no one wants to think about regencies, no one's interested in math anymore.
Rishonim said feet? Then
Rishonim didn't use in terms of feet. The term foot was started by the English king, because he was a tall guy, had a big foot, and he wanted everything to measure after him. And so most of the measurements that we have in, like, in the American system are absolutely absurd. They correspond to absolutely nothing, living or dead, than any reality. That's how the metric system started, because it kept everything, at least there was a uniform system. But the Americans...
So what's the how do we know based on Rishonim what's...
So the Rishonim had different, based on readings of the Gemara, different ways of bringing understanding the Gemara, they came up with the following numbers, okay? Depending on how many hours it takes to walk from one part of the world. So we're going to use the magic number that a meal is 18 minutes, okay? Now that happens to be the magic number that we use in what other area of Halacha, anybody know?
Matzah.
The Gemara says that if you take flour and water and put it together and do nothing, and you don't touch it, nothing happens, for the first 18 minutes you don't have to worry about it. After 18 minutes it may start to become chametz. So that's why we're so careful. We make matzahs, we want to make sure everything is done before 18 minutes. That way we know we're good within 18 minutes. So that's the shear that we're going to use. The other Rishonim have higher numbers, 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes. There are different shear based on different calculations of the Gemara. But we're going to use this number just for convenience sake. It's easy for us to make these calculations. So let's get all our math and majors out here. So you have 18 minutes of the meal. 3/4 of a meal is how much?
13 and a half minutes.
Gevaldik. So if you just read the Gemara Kipshuto, so Gemara tells us that the time between Shkia and says is 3/4 of a minute, which translates to being 13 and a half minutes. You just do a simple calculation. Once the sun sets, you look at your watch, 13 and a half minutes later, it's Tais Kippur. What would that mean, practically speaking, on Matzai Shabbos?
Shabbos is over.
That's over. It's done. It's history finished. Hey, you want to wait a minute to set for Shabbos, maybe for good luck, but basically Shabbos is over. Okay? So that's the super reading of the Gemara. Sun sets, 13 and a half minute buffer zone of Benesh Mashus. After that, it stays Kechavim. That's the dinner on Friday. That's the Mitzvah Shabbos. That's it. That's all there is there anymore. Problem is that there is another Gemara that appears in the 9th Perek of Maseches Pesachim that also talks about the terms Shkia and Seis. Uses almost synonymous phrases, Shkia Secham and Seis Kechavim. And the Gemara starts talking about much, 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 much longer numbers. Much, 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 much bigger windows. The Gemara uses the phrase in how many mil?
Four mil.
Okay, do your math. 4 mil?
72.
72. So we have a big problem. We have a discrepancy of 58 and a half minutes. It means according to the simple reading of the Gemara in Shabbos, 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets, you're good to go. It's nighttime. Shein l'chumra, shein l'chumra, that's it, finished. According to the simple reading of the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, that window is much, much longer, and it's a window, a total of 72 minutes. How in the world do you resolve this contradiction? So there was a major machlekes, the Gedolei HaRishonim, has been a burning issue for hundreds and hundreds of years. A Gedolei Machlekes, the Gedolei HaRishonim, what the answer to this question is. This is basically boils down to what's known as Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, and strangely enough, the other Shita became known as the what?
Gra.
That's Shitas HaGra. Now the Gra, as great as he was not a Rishon. So why was it called the Shitas HaGra? So the answer is it wasn't real the Shittas Agra. It was real the Shittas Arif and the Rambam and the Gaon. It was actually the Shittas of many, many Rishonim, even way, hundreds of years before the Gra was born. But the Gra was so convinced that Shittas was correct against Rav Etam, and he went up the bat for those Rishonim so strong, such a Rikhus Dvarim, that he was Machriya. He even got the Shittas named after him. It became known as the Gra's man, as the Gra Shittas. And it did not begin with the Gra. It started way back. Back at least to the days of the Rif and the Rambam, back to the days of the Gaonim, those who disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. So you had Rabbeinu Tam in one side. Rabbeinu Tam was not a Das Yochid by any stretch of the imagination. The Ramban was one of the greatest supporters of the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. But it became known in our lingo, in the Torah, in the halachic lingo today, it's known as the machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam's Manim and the Gra's Manim. But again, it started way before the time of the Gaonim. We have a long way to go. Okay? So this was the machlokes. So had the whole machlokes, hakol mikoko, everything hinges upon one simple question: how do you resolve these two gemaras? One gemara uses a formula of 3/4 mil, and the other gemara uses a formula of 4 mil. What's the answer? So Rabbeinu Tam said that the answer is very simple: that we totally, completely misunderstood what the term shkia sachama means. What did we think shkia before we started this? So you've already asked, what do you think shkia means? Now what does that mean, sunset? Well, you look at the ball of the sun, and right now, you don't want to hurt your eyes, but you look outside, you can see the ball of the sun. As you keep on looking, as the day goes on, it goes further down the west, down. You reach a point where you can just see it, you know, right over the core there, and then you reach a point where you can't see it anymore, it dips beneath the horizon. That is what we thought the term shkia means. You may be right, but says Rabbeinu Tam, we're wrong. Rabbeinu Tam says, that is not halachic shkia. For that matter, says Rabbeinu Tam, that is probably just about completely and totally in halacha meaningless. Because if you think about it, even after that sun sets, what is still outside?
Light.
There's a lot of light outside. You can see pretty well for a while after the sun technically sets. What is halachic shkia, says Rabbeinu Tam? The halachic shkia is much later. It may correspond to when almost like the last rays of the sun can't be discerned anymore. It's not clear exactly what the physical phenomenon of any, what the, you know, in the sky proper Rabbeinu Tam is referring to. But one thing it is not referring to is what we call today sunset, or what we sometimes scientifically call astronomical sunset. If you look in the, you know, in the Davel Observatory, you want to know what time the sun sets, they were the ones who were always responsible for giving me the Zman Hayom for many, many years. So the scientific sunset, says Rabbeinu Tam, really doesn't mean all that much. Almost nothing, maybe something, but not all that much in halacha.
So the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam hold that at the same time?
Wait, hold on. We didn't touch the Gra yet. We really scratched the surface of Rabbeinu Tam. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says as follows. If so, says Rabbeinu Tam, the emesis, Ben Hashmashos halachically, it's a halachic unit, is all of 3/4 mil, is all of 13.5 minutes between shkia and seis. But don't place shkia at astronomical sunset. Place shkia much later. Let's plug in some numbers. What's the number on the clock that we should plug in shkia? How many minutes after astronomical sunset? See if you can do the math very simply. How many minutes after astronomical sunset would it make sense to put halachic shkia according to Rabbeinu Tam? Or what he uses the phrase shkia shnia? 58 and a half minutes. Where did that magic number come from? Very, very simple. So he does the math. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you place halachic shkia at 58 and a half minutes after astronomical sunset, so then you have your window of 13 and a half minutes to have halachic ben hashmashos. And therefore, all the Gemaras read beautifully. Everything reads like a charm. The Gemara in Shabbos that says, Ben Hashmashos is 13 and a half minutes, 3/4 mil, that means Ben Hashmashos, beginning from halachic sunset, which is way after the sun literally sets, scientifically, halachic sunset is, from that point till halachic tzeis kichavim is 13 and a half minutes. That's all there is right no more. What did the Gemara mean in Pesachim when it says, from sunset till the stars come out, it's considered to be 72 minutes. What's the answer? What was the sunset that the Gemara was talking about in Maseches Pesachim? Astronomical sunset, scientific sunset. Now that's very nice. You know why? Because that Gemara in Pesachim was not even talking lahalacha. It wasn't talking about when Shabbos begins and Shabbos ends. The Gemara that was calculating the times of the day in terms of how far a person works, it appears in the Sugya Pesach Sheni, as it's called, Der Chokah, not Der Chokah, to get to Yerushalayim on time. totally different time. Nothing to do with real Zman Ayom. Nothing to do with real Halacha Zman Ayom. And therefore the Gemara was okay using the phrase of Shkia there in the more colloquial sense, in the more scientific sense, the more astronomical sense, rather than the pure halachic sense, because that particular issue wasn't a pure halachic issue anyway. So basically, if we would map out in terms of a calendar, or I'm sorry, in terms of the clock, according to a bit of time, let's take our perfect 6-to-6 day. So the sun physically, scientifically sets at 6 o'clock. Let's say on Friday. The sun sets at 6 o'clock according to your Ben and Tom. What happens at 6 o'clock? What can you be doing at 6 o'clock? You can be in your car at 6 o'clock. All right? At 6:05, you're in your car. 6:20, 6:30, 6:40, 6:50. Time, maybe try to get home. By 6:58 and a half, you better stop. Get out of the shower. By 6:58 and a half. You know why? I didn't stop here, but 6:58, get out of the shower. 6:58. You know why? Because right now, the suffering begins. Okay? For the next 13 and a half minutes, you have a suffix. And then at 7:12, you could say with certainty, B'lishim suffix Shabbos has started. Let's put the same model back on Motzei Shabbos. According to Benetav, at 6 o'clock, what could you be doing? You have plenty of time, right? At 6 o'clock, at 6:30, at 6:40, at 6:50, at 6:58 and a half. So you should stop doing Shabbos things at that point. But what can you still not do? Give the malacha. Until when? Until another 30 minutes, which means 7:12. I assume that everyone here has heard that magic number. I follow a bit of time. I'm very religious. I follow a bit of time, and I keep 72 minutes. So we probably had no idea what that meant, but that's what it means. Say you follow a bit of time, you keep 7, the magic number, 72 minutes, means that you're calculating this Zman Ayom Chumra for a bit of time. And you're starting from astronomical sunset, counting 72 minutes, and at 7:12, you'll be willing to do malacha. That's Rav Tam's version of Zman Ayom. Bein l'kula bein l'chum. Came along before Rav Tam ready, the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, and then later the Gra, who put the final touches on the Shita and was elaborated upon the Shita. Say these Gedolei Rishonim, that this presentation of Zman Ayom is fundamentally flawed. The floor begins already at the very beginning. Because Shkia means exactly what we thought it meant. Shkia means when the sun sets. Well, tell me a story. It means 58 and a half minutes after the sunset. It's when the sun sets. 58 and a half minutes? No. 6 o'clock. That's Shkia. And how long was Benesh Mashos? 13 and a half minutes. And what happens at 6:13 and a half? The day is halachically over. And that's exactly what the Gemara means in Masechta Shabbos. So whereas Rabbi Natan put the 13 and a half minutes at the end of the story, the Gra, Gaonim, Rif, and Rambam put at the beginning of the story, at astronomical sunset. So what Gemara is problematic according to the Gra?
The 4 mil.
So where's the 4 mil talking about? What's the Gemara Pesachim talking about? Do you know what the Gra responds? Go back to that Gemara and see that Gemara is not talking about Zman Hayom and Halacha. The Gemara there is figuring out how far a person could walk until it gets dark. Says the Gra, it takes 72 minutes from after sunset until you have Tseis HaKechavim. But guess what? That term, Tseis HaKechavim, is not halachic Tseis HaKechavim. How many stars have to come out to be halachic Tseis HaKechavim?
Three.
That's the Gemara in Shabbos. What Tseis HaKechavim is being referred to there? Tseis Kol HaKechavim. It's not pitch black with the star, with the sky full of stars until much, much later. And we go to in a planetarium, and we start to make it dark, and then all of a sudden it's pitch black, and he says, if you go outside, says the Gra, 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, you'll see three stars. And halachically Shabbos is over. Halachically it's the next day. However, that's not the Tseis Kol HaKechavim that the Gemara was interested in talking about in Maseches Pesachim for other technical, not halachic reasons. And therefore, according to the Gra, how does Zman Hayom play out? Remember the model of Rabbeinu Tam? Now let's go back to the Gra's model. It's Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock. What do you better have to stop doing? You better stop doing malacha. At 6:13, out of the shower, right? At 6:13 and a half, if you do malacha at 6:13 and a half, what are you chayav? Skila b'ter zvadei. According to Rabbi Tam, where are you?
Nowhere.
You're still in your car. You're still driving. According to the Gra, you're driving to the base of skila. You chayav skila for malacha at that point. But now, let's go the next night on Motzei Shabbos. At 6:13 and a half, the following night, according to the Gra, where are you going? Malach. Malach. You're off to Malachas already. You're off to the, who knows what you're doing. According to a bit of time, where are you going? You're driving straight to the where?
The Beis Haskila,
because you're being Mechal Shabbos Gomor. So you have a major machlokes. It's hard to say who's the Mach, who's the Beis. It depends which vantage point you're looking at. So Rabbi said, in a nutshell, this is the machlokes to Gron Rebbeinu Tzal. Now, how do we pass in the halacha in this machlokes? Major machlokes. Barely a pass. How do we pass in the halacha? So it depends on who you mean we. So in Europe, there were many communities that followed Rebbeinu Tzal. That's true. There were communities that followed Rebbeinu Tzal. Beinu Kul Beinu Chumah. The Mamish followed Rebbeinu Tzal's Mamish. And there were many, particularly after the Talmud Gra, who did not follow Rebbeinu Tzal at all, who followed the Gra, Beinu Kul Beinu Chumah. So this Machlokes was kind of still a running Machlokes. The Mishneh Berurah writes that Bishum Ponim Va'oifed, we cannot permit a person to do Malachi after Shkia today. He says, even though it's true that according to pure Rabbeinu Tam, it should be permissible, he says, there are so many poskim, someone who's shown how like the Gra, and the Gra is very, very convincing, his argument, that it is, to tell a person today to drive in a car after Shkia, you got to be out of your mind, says the Mishneh Berurah. Crazy. He says, Chazal Safik Isidir Aisa. Now again, Mishneh Berurah is not saying, therefore you should do Malacha 6 to 3 after next night. Maybe you should play it safe on both ends, but says Mishneh Berurah, to be naked against the Gra on Friday afternoon is not shayach to do. But the Mishneh Berurah himself doesn't come out with a clear-cut sock on the Shiloh. He just tells you almost like the Chumrah on both ends in a certain sense. In Eretz Yisrael, the minig has become chayk v'lo yavo, like who? Like the Gra. All this man in Eretz Yisrael, a nikvu like the Gra. That's been the minig, the Tamid when the Gra came here, Eretz Yisrael in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The minhage has man of Eretz Yisrael, a bin nikvu, the halach l'maisa like the Gra. There are yechidim who are machmir on Motzei Shabbos, like Rabbeinu Tam, means they won't do malach for 7 2 minutes as a chumrah. But to say lekula, to be naked like Rabbeinu Tam, it's unheard of. It's absolutely unheard of. And the truth is, at least vis-a-vis Shabbos, in America, it's pretty much unheard of as well. I know there are people who do a lot of other things after Shkia, but it's almost unheard of, or at least it should be unheard of. In America, nobody does malacha after Shkia. There is a legend out there, someone was asking me a little bit, referring to it a little bit to a morning seder. There is I cannot vouch for the authenticity of the story, but there is some kind of a quasi-legend out there that says that there was a little bit of an agreement that was made between Rabbi Kotler and the Satmar Rebbe back in the 1940s that were, before the war, so there were Jewish communities in America before the war, but they were smaller. But the great influx of Talmid Chachamim who came to America after the war, so many of the minhagim that were started in America became, nikvu at that time. So the way the legend story goes is that the Satmar Rebbe and Ron Kotler came to an agreement. The Rebbe was representing the Chassidus and the Chassidim, and Ron Kotler was the head of the Litvish and Yeshivish world. So they came to a haskama that there'll be machmir on both ends. That the Yeshivish world will accept Rabbeinu Tam's man until 72 minutes after Shabbos is over, and the Chassidim stop driving on Friday afternoon after Shkia. That's the way the story goes. Whether it happened or not, whether both sides kept their side of the bargain, I can't tell you. I'm not sure the bargain was ever made. But lemaisa, what appears to be in our communities, I say, in Herzl for sure, and most of our communities that we're familiar with, the Tinek, Five Towns, and the Chahena communities in America, so basically we follow the Grozman. That's been pretty much the basic halacha. We follow the Grozman. The question is, what does that mean practically? If you follow the Grozman, and you do the math, so it turns out that 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, we should be comfortable doing Malacha Motzei Shabbos. So the answer is there's something that changes radically. What is that? Yes, we follow the Gra, but there's another factor that's critical. What's the other factor?
There's a different point in the...
So there are different points depending how far away you are from the equator. The Zmanim that were given by Chazal were given in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, which are pretty close to each other. But once you start to go further north, so then it takes much longer for it to get dark. Have you ever noticed in Eretz Yisrael it gets dark much faster than it does in New York? There's a reason for that. Anyone who is in Boca? Will is in Boca. You're fine? Okay. Do you notice that it gets dark very quick in Boca? Much faster than in New York. Even a little bit slightly faster than in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So the further away you get from the equator, the longer it takes. This is the way the ray, the angles of the sun is. So the Poskim write that even though in our heart and soul we really follow the Grozman, we cannot actually sanction the Locha at 13 and a half minutes because we're nervous that we have to wait a little bit longer so that since we're further north of the equator. How much longer do we have to wait? So this is a very, I guess, a little bit tricky. So there were some post people said the only way to figure this out is a very simple scientific test. You have to figure out how dark it is in Eretz Yisrael at 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. And if you can measure that darkness factor when you reach that same amount of scientific darkness in New York, that is ultimately going to be Tzeis Kichon. That's a Zman that many Polskim accept and not going to agree to that type of a formulation. Bottom line is it comes out to somewhere around 25 minutes, 28 minutes, somewhere 22 minutes, depending on the different seasons of the year, in the mid to late to 20 numbers as to when Tzeis Kichon is. The minhag has become in America already for quite some time to wait a little bit longer than that on Motzei Shabbos. First of all, we just want to make sure we're covered on all bases, and we want to make sure we're a little bit of Tosefta Shabbos also. So many, many years ago, when the first Jews started to come to the New York area, so numbers were thrown around like 42 minutes, 45 minutes. Those are the numbers that were accepted. And those are the numbers that pretty much became a kubal in many, many of our communities. That's what, if you look on the calendars, and they would tell you when the Shabbos is over in New York, they usually give you just about an hour after lech benching, which is 18 minutes lech benching, 42 minutes, comes out to about an hour. There are some shuls that wait till 50 minutes, then Shabbos, that's the number that Rav Moshe gave, and there are some who wait 72 minutes, they want to follow the Shita Rabbeinu Tam. It's very unclear whether waiting 72 minutes even fulfills Rabbeinu Tam.
Rav Moshe said 50.
Rav Moshe said that he thought of 50 minutes, it's hot, it's impossible to say it's not Tzeis Kichon. Rav Moshe said he looked outside, he says the sky is full of stars, how can he say it's not Tzeis Kichon? So there are, it's very difficult to believe the magic number 72 for Rabbeinu Tam. Anyone know why? Very simple reason. 72 is very difficult to apply in New York. Why?
You can't
see
pollution.
Why? Because you have to do the same number, the same way that you have the numbers go up for the Gra, they have to go for a minute. It's the same sky. So it's got to be much, much more than that. So depending on how you calculate, you can end up with much, much bigger numbers. So again, the HVH. So again, the basic Pesach HaMocha is like the Gra. Some Yechide school the wait till 72 minutes, some wait even longer than that. Okay, and that's pretty much how it plays out in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov. I would say under no circumstance, it's shorter because of the Chavish to be driving after Shkia. Not even a Shabbos and Chavish.
So I'm saying, if I guide them a lot after Shkia, we're according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's still okay.
Can
we really
give
him a skila for that?
Again, when there's a header will come, we'll have to be machuya this machuya, this probably puts it for all. So we're not giving a skila today, anyway.
How do they get the 45?
So the 45 is like a little bit of like a mixture of it was basically the gra plus a little bit of spakas, plus a little bit of Sefer Shabbos. So it's not, that number probably doesn't correspond to anything hardcore. That number 42, 45 probably doesn't mean all that much. Okay? All right, so, and that number anyway was given in New York. It was given because that's where the Jews started to come. You live in LA, you live in Florida, those numbers, mamash, don't make any sense. They don't correspond to anything. But now the minhag became, it's basically the grew up plus a little bit of extra buffer for Tosefta Shabbos. Okay, good. So Rabbi say, this is all the background to this manhag. And now the question becomes, how does this play out in terms of Tosefta Shabbos? I'll learn to Tosefta Shabbos. So how does this play out in terms of davening mincha? So what is the Tanya Mishnah? Tefillas Mincha Ad what? Ad Erev, until the end of the day. So what do you think that should mean? Ad Erev should probably mean, you should probably try to daven Mincha till when? Probably till Shkia. I mean, if the Shkia, you're already entering into the world of Sfeika Derabonu V'kulas, it starts to get tricky. So probably this man to daven is until Ad Erev. Now wait, depends what you think Ad Erev means. So if you really truly believe in the Groz Manim, which we most probably do, so then the cut-off point, Chayk v'lo yavah for davi mincha is when? Is Shkia. But you can't have mincha and pair Shkia finish. That's all the time. It's the next day already. I mean, you suffer, it's the next day. So one could argue that if you just take the Mishnah Kepshuto and you plug in the sukkahs and shops and sochim, you plug in the groz manim, so that's it. At Kandalayo, so you can't possibly davi mincha after Shkia. However, if you follow the Rav Meir Tam, like again, many communities in Europe were, and some people still a little bit today also, and even those who don't want to follow Rabbeinu Tam for Shabbos purposes, but maybe, you know, Mincha is a little bit, obviously, significantly less serious than Shabbos, so maybe others would take the approach, we follow Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, yeah, Rabbeinu Tam is pretty good. Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, right? Choshev and Rishonim. So we have a right to follow Rabbeinu Tam vis-a-vis Mincha, and then we could have Mincha until when? Well, we got plenty of time. We got when? How long do we have?
Another
we got another 58 and a half minutes. We got a long way to go. Now, just as an aside, I don't want to, you know, throw too serious a curveball at the Shita. There's a huge, huge, huge dilemma with Rabbeinu Tam. What's the huge dilemma, Rabbeinu Tam? A huge dilemma, Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, 58 and a half minutes after Shkia is still Yom Gomor, right? Has anyone ever gone outside in Eretz Yisrael at 58 and a half minutes after Shkia and looked at the sky?
Yeah.
Okay,
stars.
How many stars do you need to count? Thousands of stars. The sky is full of stars. So it is very, probably for me to argue with Rabbeinu Tam, but it is very, very, very hard to understand Rabbeinu Tam in light of what's going on in the sky.
Isn't there an aspect to it of keeping like an extra minute, a few minutes of Shabbos just to show how?
No, there's the mitzvah to set for Shabbos, that's very nice, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can do malacha on Friday, 57 and a half minutes after Shkia. The sky is malay of kachavim. There are thousands of stars out. So it's a very, very, that's where Moshe threw his hands up. Where Moshe says, Ramosha writes in the tshuva, he can't understand. Ramosha, very simple. Ramosha did a very, very simple experiment. You know what he did? He walked outside. Where did Ramosha live? Anyone know?
Lower East Side.
No, Lower East Side. Anyone know where he lived in Lower East Side? Anyone from Lower East Side? He lived at Mamash when you go on the FDR. So he lived on FDR Drive. There are a couple of buildings right by Grand Street. Imamish's apartment building overlooked the FDR Drive. So I'll tell you, Ma'aseh Sharka Achoya, from the side, that my wife used to work in Brooklyn. We used to live in Washington Heights. The first time I asked, my wife used to work in Brooklyn. She used to drive to Brooklyn a couple of times a week. So one time she was driving back up the FDR, and she was pregnant by Yaakov, I think, at the time, and car broke down. She had a flat tire or something. We got a flat on the FDR. And she was like terrified. It was ready at night. And she was pregnant. And there were no cell phones in those days. Mom was terrified. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a person who was not part of our, Anshei Shlomeinu, person who was not Jewish, he came over and said, "Can I give you a hand?" And she said, "Please, absolutely." He fixed the tire, whatever he did, he figured out, put it in the spare, whatever he did for her. So she wanted to pay him. He said, "I won't take it. It was my good deed for the day," and he walked away. So when she got home, she told me the story. And she told me exactly where it happened. It happened mamish in front of Ramosha's building. So I said, Elio Novi comes, you know, to special places and different guises. I said, he came to fix a flat tire for someone, a woman in distress. So Mustafa Ramosha, you know, sent Elio Novi. Back to the Chassidish part of the Shia. Back to the Lukash part of the Shia is that Ramosha did a very, very simple experiment. He walked outside in front of his building, in front of the FDR, and he looked up at the sky, and at 50 minutes, he said, there are enough stars there for me. I'm comfortable enough to say Shabbos is over. He said, you want to wait 72 minutes because of the hate, but 50 minutes or much to Paskin, Shabbos is over. Me'ikar then Shabbos is over because there are stars in the sky. So others pointed out that but the stars come out way before 50 minutes in New York. Ramosha was looking where? On the Lower East Side of Manhattan. What do you have in the Lower East Side of Manhattan? You got pollution, you got lights, you got overlooking the highway. Where do you have to go? You got to go up to the mountains where air is clear, there's no artificial light, and go outside and look, when did the stars come out? So many, many moons ago in Mar Shakola, we ran an experiment. We went up to, anyone been in Mar Shakola? Anyone been in Mar Shah?
Yeah, the horse.
We went up on the horses, right? That was way before the horses days, okay? So we went up to the mountain, all right? Up to the campsite, just to call it. We went up to the top, and we waited, and we looked, and by 30 minutes, I mean, we didn't even know how to look so well, by 30 minutes, they're ready stars. So basically, it's the same experiment as Ramosha, just done in a little bit of a different setting. But, again, Rabbeinu Tam said it, so those who want to follow Rabbeinu Tam, so the follow Rabbeinu Tam.
Should we still be machmir for 50 minutes? Does Rabbi do 30?
I do 30 for Shabbos. Nobody does 30 for Shabbos.
Is there a downside to keeping more?
No, isn't that right? So about side. So a person must say, listen, I'm not talking about Shabbos. I'm talking about Davi Mincha. What's the big deal, Davi Mincha? I want Davi Mincha after Shkia. Okay, after sunset. I got 58 and a half, 4 minutes to go. Okay, so Zai, he's going to go down that route. Would Rabbeinu Tam approve of that? So based on everything we just said, yes. based on everything we ever, again, whether we follow Ben Tam, don't follow Ben Tam, whether we understand, don't understand, but Ben Tam himself, the Vais would approve that, L'chora. Until we open up the Gemara Maseches Zvachim, and we realize that there's a curveball thrown out in this entire sugya. What's the curveball? So the Gemara Zvachim, so everybody was breaking the teeth of the sugya in Zvachim today, but bottom line, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara tells us that Minayin Ladam, now what? How do you know that Dam of a carbon, Shechta the carbon, now the Dam is sitting in a clear bathroom, as Rikas Adam, and the sun sets? Minayin Ladam, Shenivso Bashkir Sechaba. How do you know? The Gemara like wakes up at the Vavin Zvachim after 56 plot, all of a sudden, good morning, how do you know that Dam is Bashkir Sechaba? Tamad Leimar, Biyayim, Hakriva is carbon. Hakzeris Akos Hashem. So come to be showing him and say, wait a second, stop. What do I need a pasuk for? I don't need a pasuk to tell me the dam is nifsol. It is obvious the dam is nifsol for a very simple calculation. I shechted the carbon 10 minutes before shkia. And I dilly-dally, I didn't get around to doing zrukas adam, the sun set. When do you want me to do zrukas adam? Give me a time. Now? You're out of your mind. Why are you out of your mind? No, before there was a din, there was no din. I haven't yet got this part. Avray does never done Balayla. Vanessa Kabonis has never done Balayla. You can never do anything in the base of Mikdash. Very, very few things here and there in the base of Mikdash Balayla. But Avray Saddam is forget it.
Why is it not like, so you're allowed to start Shmoneh Esrei?
Come on, Bilam with Maisa Lachim. I'm not a Dinder Aisa, Zrukas Adam, it's got to be better than I am. So Fred tells the Kasha, long time after the Vavin Zvach, that's honest. Let's say there wouldn't have been a Pasuk with Dam Nusum Shkiz Chama. When did you want to be Zerk this Dam exactly? At night? You're out of your mind. You can't shout, you can't do Zrukas Adam at night. Let's forget it. Pasuk bin Chubash, Yom Tzav Chasam, finish. Yom Tzav Aisa, forget it. Elalat, you would have thought, great, I won't do this because I'm now, I'll put the dam aside, and I'll do it when?
Tomorrow.
I'll do it tomorrow, right? No problem. Buddy, you're crazy. Everything in the basic picture is possible, Lina. The meat is possible, the chelev is possible, Lina, Loyal, the chelev, Chaget, Baike, in the morning, that's the gam at the end of everything. So what were you thinking? What would you have done without this Xeris Akrosov? So Tysus is breaking their heads trying to figure out what's the chiddush, what's the point of his chiddush? Hope that the next year we have to figure out what the point of his chiddush is, and this is going to become, throw a curveball at us in terms of korbanos, which in turn is going to impact the chostvila. Hope that Shem will continue this.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Who's got the tape recorder here, man?
Is it possible for maybe Tom just like wherever he was?